That music can mean only one thing. The best 30-ish minutes of your week is about to begin.
Or you're somewhere in the Midwest.
Well, that's true, too.
But here it only means one thing.
Exactly. It's about to be your best 30-ish minutes of the week. Welcome to episode 24. Yes, we missed last week because
of... Is it only 24?
Scheduling mishaps, and we almost had a scheduling mishap this week as well. Episode 24 of Upon Further Review with the podcast prof, because today my partner in crime is under the weather and not with us. So, Soren Fanning will have to listen to this podcast when it's over and hopefully agree with everything that he hears, and if he doesn't, well, you know what? He can't really do much about it because we would have recorded it by then.
Unless he magically calls in before the end of the show.
Which is still a possibility. It's still a possibility, and if that happens, that would be very cool. But this is, again, Upon Further Review with the podcast profs, or podcast prof today. I am Anthony Moretti, associate professor in the School of Communications and Information Systems at Robert Morris University. And my usual partner in crime, Soren Fanning, is at the same institution, and he is an associate professor in the Department of Social Sciences, and more specifically, as he likes to refer to himself, your friendly neighborhood historian.
Friendly is a big difference.
There is a big deal to that. Yes, it is. That voice that you are hearing, I will let this esteemed, not steamed, that would be like broccoli, this esteemed.
Or an espresso.
Or an espresso.
And I hate coffee, so that's an issue.
Do you really, John Roland?
I hate all things bitter. I don't know why.
So you have really not liked America's political scene of the last couple of years then, huh?
I don't know if I liked it at any point. I especially hate it now.
There you go. John Roland is going to graduate in about 40-ish days, and that, while a big
apparently it's 39, according to my friend.
Well, see.
But I don't know. I don't keep track. I'm not walking, so I don't care.
You're not going.
No.
Because?
It's a long ceremony made longer by the fact that all of the smaller ones are being thrown in, too.
This is true.
They don't want to pay for several convention centers.
That probably is a good idea.
I don't blame them, but it makes me really not want to go.
Okay.
I didn't want to go before.
You'll be there in spirit?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Maybe. I'll be on campus.
Good.
Because if I'm not there, I'm here.
That'll work.
But
so, this week, where do we begin? How about this? Speaking of people who won't be in the United States, or won't be where they're supposed to be, there are, 60 so Russians who are soon to be exiting the country, and roughly 220 of them from around the world, almost all of them Western democracies, because...
Russia threw a temper tantrum.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And generally speaking, if somebody accuses you of something and you reply with a temper tantrum instead of a denial, what does that generally suggest?
On a scale of 1 to 10, you're guilty.
You're guilty, yes. It does appear that the Russians are indeed behind the poisoning of a former Russian double agent and his daughter. He lives in England. She was visiting him there. And they were poisoned about 4-ish weeks ago now. The British were the first to respond, as you might expect, saying essentially that this is unacceptable and that they demanded answers from the Kremlin. There were no answers coming. And then, interestingly, the United States led the charge in throwing out Russians by sending the first 60 or so home earlier this week and announcing they must be out of here by the end of the weekend. Surprised?
Not at all.
Because? And I agree with you, by the way.
For as much as this administration likes to do wrong with everything else that's going on, I think they've reached the point where they have to do some things whether they want to or not. Because if they don't, there might actually be an uprising that they're scared of in the back of their heads because things are getting a little more violent in the political scene.
Yes, and I think, you know, look, there is one thing to... And I'm not in any way condoning murder. Don't misunderstand me. But through sort of conventional means where, you know, you try to assassinate somebody, that kind of thing, the chances of somebody else getting hurt, relatively small. Again, not condoning that activity. But poisoning somebody, especially with the volatile nature of the agent that was used the attack.
Volatile enough that anybody in that bar was recommended to immediately wash any clothes they had.
Mm-hmm.
Anything on the block was taken away. Mm-hmm. Cars towed away because they were in any kind of contact.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't your friendly neighborhood mustard gas, which when it's gone, it's gone.
No.
This is something that lingers.
This is something that lingers. And so the decision by the various countries to throw out the roughly 220 Russians will, of course, be met by the Russians essentially putting the same number in place. But I thought that it was striking, as you did before we started recording the program, that the idea of there was never a denial. There was never a we didn't do this.
And you know what astounds me more about that? Their answer to their pseudo-defense is that the UK figured out what the nerve agent is, which means they could have made it, which means they made it quid pro quo. That is an awful argument.
Precisely.
If I put together a television with a box of parts, did I make the television or did I just put it together?
Mm-hmm.
Russia's defense is that they found it first, they smelt it, they dealt it.
Yes, doesn't work that way. Definitely does not work that way. All right, so that's the Russian problem. Let's discuss Rick Santorum for a couple of minutes. Rick Santorum, as Pennsylvanians will know, is a former senator from this state.
Oddly enough, the only one I remember the name of, I think.
Interesting. A 2016, and I believe, if memory serves me kind, 2012 presidential candidate as well.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Republican side. Didn't gain much traction.
That shows how much he did.
Well, you know, he is for lack of a better phrase, you would describe him, I think, as the quintessential social conservative. And this week, got his mitt in the ringer. I think unfairly, which I'll explain why in a minute. Santorum is now a commentator and political analyst on CNN. And in response to the March for Our Lives rallies in various cities, including the nation's capital and Pittsburgh, on Saturday of last week, he was asked his thoughts about students marching and whatnot. And his response was, wouldn't it be better off if they were learning CPR so that if a student in their school did get shot, they might be able to save the student's life? Now, let's breathe for a minute. What Rick Santorum said was absolutely boneheaded dumb. All right?
There's no other explanation for
there's
that.
There's no explanation. If he would have said, you know what? The Red Cross should have used this opportunity with all these people marching to hand out or do demonstrations of CPR or something. I would have been, you know what? All right, we're thinking about how we could sort of gain a better message here and make things work in that way. I'd have been in favor of it.
Yeah, and not proposing it as a whole solution.
Exactly. But instead, he said that we should go ahead and essentially tell the kids to get off the streets and learn CPR. Now, boneheaded, moronic, silly, sophomoric, idiotic, whatever word you want to use, I'll accept it. However, Rick Santorum has become basically a 24-hour news cycle unto himself in the last 48 or so hours, with commentator after commentator on CNN and elsewhere taking a stab at explaining what Santorum might have thought and what it all means in the general scheme of things. Okay, let's keep this simple, all right? There is no 24-hour news cycle on the life of Rick Santorum's moronic comments, all right? Let's move on from the nonsense and let's talk about something substantive.
He said something dumb, and if you want to use it to discredit him in the future, sure.
Right.
But taking away from things that might actually matter feels not only like a cash grab, but a deliberate deliberate attempt at keeping ignorance to either side of the field, yes, whichever side you stand on.
And again, to drone on about it for 24 hours, which is why you and I are going to be done with it in about three or so, because I think this is about the third minute and we're about done with this issue, does not make sense. Now, on the subject of some other things that don't make sense to me. Did you watch 60 Minutes on Sunday night?
I did not.
I did not either.
But I heard about 60 Minutes on
Sunday
night. Yes,
I think everybody has at this point. Stormy Daniels. Now, oh, Stormy Daniels. I think her 15 minutes of fame ended a long time ago. I have made very clear my sort of opinion on all of this. I don't care that she had a romp with the president when he was not the president, and more specifically, had a romp with the president roughly 12 years ago. I don't care. If that is a moral issue that he has. She was not married at the time. He was and still is to the same woman. He has to deal with that as a moral and an ethical conundrum in his life. Now, I do agree that if any monies generated by the Trump campaign were used to pay her off, then in essence, you have the potential for corruption, which is a crime. I get that. Perfectly on board with it. But let's face it, 60 Minutes did not interview Stormy Daniels to talk about corruption. No. They interviewed her for one reason, and what was it?
It's interesting news that everyone talks about because no one can let it go.
Nah, you too many letters. Why did 60 Minutes put Stormy Daniels?
Ratings.
Well, close. I was going to say sex, but yeah, sex generates
ratings.
Sex generates ratings. So,
cough, Olympic women's volleyball.
Beach volleyball. Beach volleyball.
My bad.
Exactly. Or sand volleyball, whatever the hell they call that sport. Alleged sport. No, it's a sport. No, I take that back. It's a sport. It is.
Is NASCAR a sport?
I'd call it a sport, sure.
I'm torn on it, but that's not what we're talking about.
I figured I'd ask you. That's all right. So, here's my problem with the Stormy Daniels saga, among many other things. Number one, again, one-time romp. The woman has not denied it. The president, interestingly, has not denied it.
You know what he said, and I don't know if it was a public release or if it's something that someone quoted him from inside the White House said, I do not believe that these things happened with her.
Yes.
He didn't deny. He said, I know that this didn't happen. He's choosing to believe it didn't happen.
And he also then about a day or so later said something even more questionable that said, I don't find a woman like her attractive.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Even though it's exactly his type.
Come on.
To the letter.
Stop that, all right? Just again, it's like the Russians. Don't BS us, okay? Don't lie. Just admit that, you know, you had a romp with the woman and you paid her off, as you often have done, and to other people, and let's be done with this thing. But look, 60 Minutes got its highest-rated program in well over a decade.
Possibly two.
Possibly two.
I, for some reason, have 11 years on my head. You had 22.
Either way.
22 might have been right, but 11 is just what's in my head.
Either way, I want you to think about this. Highest rated program that 60 Minutes has had in at least a decade, maybe two, is about a porn star who had sex once with the president roughly 12 years ago when he was not the president. What does that say about America's insatiable appetite for dirt?
You could offer a cure to cancer, and it's not as interesting as that.
It's not. I was reminding some of my students today, and we recorded this podcast on Wednesday, March the 28th. Can you believe, by the way, how fast March has shot by?
No. I blame spring break.
Well, yeah. And, of course, last week we had snow, which was fun. Last week felt more like December than March. But Anyhow, we're recording this podcast on a Wednesday, and as we do so, we know that the president has yet to deny it, probably won't. We know that he and Mrs. Trump have been, how do we put this mildly, traveling separate ways in recent days.
Have they had a picture together in like the entirety of their presidency?
Of his presidency, nice. I think the last one I saw of them together was when he was in Cincinnati 3-ish weeks ago, if my memory is being kind to me.
Ooh, that's more recent than I thought. I was expecting maybe since the beginning of 2018 at earliest.
Mm-hmm. Not happening. Stormy relationships in that marriage, more ways than one. But look, Stormy Daniels will continue to be news up to and until the point that either we can verify that there was some sort of corruption issue going on, or that we can verify that at the end of the day, this was much ado about nothing. But don't forget, Stormy Daniels' professional career has taken off, no pun intended, in the last three-ish months. She'll be in Pittsburgh in early May.
Why?
Because there's money to be made in smut.
What's she even going to do here?
She's going to be at a gentleman's club, I believe is the word.
That's weird.
It's money.
That is a weird thing to tour for.
Yes, but let's face it. It fits with
everything else.
It fits with the smut. And she is the 24-hour perpetual news cycle. She's not the flavor of the day. She's Baskin-Robbins' flavor of the week.
Or month.
And she's not endorsed by Baskin-Robbins.
Possibly a year at this rate.
It could be at the rate this is going. Rick Santorum, Lee Malone. People make fools of themselves. Okay, fine. Stormy Daniels, leave her alone. The 15 minutes of fame is over.
You know who I haven't heard get talked about at all, though?
Okay.
The, I believe, Supreme Court judge who said he's completely against the Second Amendment at this point.
Yes. Came out yesterday. Retired Supreme Court justice said that if it were him, he would have basically the Second Amendment of the Constitution ripped up and thrown away and start from scratch. His argument being simplified in the interest of time, that what we are essentially dealing with is a amendment written more than 200 years ago, almost 250 years ago now, that did not have in any way, shape, or form, or does not have in any way, shape, or form, bearing on the type of guns and military weapons available today. And as a result, it's his...
Absolutely. Yeah. The fastest load time you could get was like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you were the best in the world at it. Most soldiers weren't the best in the world at it and would take two or three, to my understanding. Imagine the average, like, average farmer or townsman. If they try to do that, they're going to spend a lot of time reloading between shots.
Which is why, you know, the old line, which is now sort of a joke, but was used in war 200 years ago, don't shoot till you see the whites in their eyes. There was a reason.
Yeah. If you miss, you're screwed.
You're screwed.
And the things weren't accurate. The idea of accuracy is if I was to shoot at that trophy case from here, that mm-hmm. trophy case is what, maybe like 20 feet away, you'd say?
Sure.
If I'm lucky, I will hit the glass on that trophy case mm-hmm. if I point right at it.
Mm-hmm. Closer you get, the more accuracy you have. And certainly the power and the sophistication of the weaponry and all of that. I admire the stance that says, let's tear up the Second Amendment and start all over. But let's be honest, it isn't going to happen.
No, but I feel like maybe part of what he's doing is, like, he believes it needs changed. I'm not positive if I believe he thinks that it needs tossed. He might be trying to prove to the point. We're at the point where the argument is... Mm-hmm. You're either for it or against it, and there's no in between because the far, far right-wingers who refuse to let anyone touch it and feel like in some cases it should be even easier to get firearms. Anything that you say against the Second Amendment is, well, you obviously want it abolished,
mm-hmm.
whereas if you're on the far left side, anything you say in defense is justifying murder.
Murder.
So... there's no middle ground anymore if you want anything, if you want to be taken seriously, because they'll make it the far left or far right end.
And you know what? Maybe that was the purpose, was to say, okay, if you're not in favor of total repeal of the Second Amendment, what would you be in favor of? If that's going too far, what's realistic? And so perhaps in a backhanded way, he will generate a conversation around the country that will be both necessary, and who knows, maybe it'll lead to something. I, you know, look, I my two cents for what my two cents are worth. I don't think we need to completely abandon the Second Amendment.
No, nor do I.
And I sure as heck don't believe or don't support anybody who says we should take everybody's guns away from them. That's nonsense. We should not. But I think there are some reasonable claims to be made, including assault weapons bans, minimal time between requesting a purchase and being approved for that purchase. A real commitment on the part of the NRA and other organizations about gun safety.
Also,
go ahead.
Just the loosening of ability to do research.
Mm-hmm.
It is ridiculous how much power the NRA holds to the point that they can tell the CDC, you can't look at this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed. Mm-hmm. Despite this isn't even something they have to, like, there's no experimenting that needs done. They just have to collect the data that's out there and look at it, but they legally can't.
Can't.
So even if somebody in the CDC does it behind closed doors, they can't put it out there.
They can't touch it. No, I agree with you. I think there are reasonable options out there that should. Again, you're going to have the people at the far end who aren't going to be satisfied unless they get their own way. Leave them out of the conversation because they're not going to be moved. But the large segment of the population that can be moved and can have serious, reasonable conversations, to me, the baseline for conversations is, can we agree on assault weapon bans? Can we put a 24 to 72-hour window in place before you're allowed to buy a gun? You know, I got a good laugh out of a cartoon I saw the other day. It was a mock-up of a Peanuts cartoon in which Charlie Brown and Snoopy are at the DMV and they need a license for that, and they're at the library and they need a card for that, and they're somewhere else, I forget, and they need a card for that. And then the panel ends with Snoopy and Charlie Brown walking away as Charlie Brown says to Snoopy, you don't need a license for that, and it's a big old assault rifle that, you know, Snoopy is carrying. And, you know, again, political humor, but a good point, you know, taken nonetheless. There's a reasonable conversation to be had. Americans are not ready to have it, I don't think.
No, and maybe the retired justice is on to
something
of how to get people to talk about it. Because if you can't agree to disagree and try to find a compromise, there's no point in anything but the extremes.
Mm-hmm. And if you watched any of the rallies on Saturday around the country, and especially the one in Washington, which obviously drew the most national attention.
Yeah, 800,000 people, I think?
Something like that. I mean, Emma Gonzalez, she's, for lack of a better phrase, the face of the franchise at this point. And that young lady just delivered one heck of a speech. You can, okay, fine. You don't like her, that's great. You don't have to. But just from a speech, powerful, emotional, consistent with being in that moment, it was well done. It was well done. If she were my daughter, or if I were one of her teachers, I'd be like, ooh, I think I've done good, because this one is doing the right thing. Let's end on some humor or some fun. You a baseball fan?
I am not a baseball fan.
So I gotta do this last segment on my own.
I mean, if I understand something, I'll chime in, but I just don't expect.
Okay. Very quickly, here's what I think about the Major League Baseball season. I think the top four teams in both the National League and the American League are pretty clear. I think in the National League, it is the Dodgers, the Nationals, and the Cubs, and probably the Brewers. There is a spot for another team to make the playoffs. There obviously will be one more team that makes the playoffs. But I think at the end of the day, the Dodgers and the Cubs will meet in the National League Championship Series.
Don't tell Dr. Fanning that. He'll get excited.
He will get excited. Yes. Yeah. 2 years ago, he was just, come on.
Was it really two? I thought it was last year.
Well, I guess actually two baseball seasons ago. So it was October of 16.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, 15, 16-ish months ago. And you're right. I was sort of having a little fun at his expense. I have to admit, I was, you know, hey, Soren, Cubs are down 3-1. Don't remind me, you know. So, but there is that. So I think you're looking at a Dodgers-Cubs National League Championship Series. I think in the American League, the top four teams are pretty clear. They are the Astros, the defending World Series champions, the Indians, the Red Sox, and the Yankees, and there's therefore a chance for one more team to sneak into that mix. I am a believer in teams don't repeat, which is why I don't think the Astros will get that far. I think you're looking at a Cleveland-New York American League Championship Series, and I think you're looking at a Cleveland-LA World Series. That is my prediction for 2018.
No mention of the Pirates? They'd have to be good for that, I know.
Look, this season for the Pirates will not be defined by what's done on the field. This season for the Pirates is going to be defined by what management does to either demonstrate it is listening to the fan base or it's not.
So get rid of more of the good players.
If you know, I think if you said to the Pittsburgh baseball fans, here's the deal. Here's the promise we're making you. We're trading the last couple of veterans. We are going with a commitment to a youth movement. And we promise you, if you stick with us for another couple of years, that we will put a consistent winning team on the field, and we will pay the top dollar to keep the best pieces that are part of this franchise. I don't believe Bob Nutting is committed to that ideal, though. I really don't. I could be wrong. I'd like to be proven wrong.
But since you mentioned the youth, did you know that Neil Walker actually came from my high school?
I did know. Well, I didn't know. I take two. I had forgotten you had gone to Pine Richland, but yes, I did know he went to Pine Richland High School.
Yeah. Now, I mean, granted, he's got a couple years on me, obviously, so I never actually met him. But I had some of the teachers that had him. And one of the interesting stories that she shared with us was I think at the end of his senior year, he was in an English class, and he was doing okay, you know, like, I don't know, he was already signed to go to the Pirates. He knew what he was doing. He had, I think, like a million or two signing bonus,
nice.
Something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head. It's not a huge detail. But the teacher was talking about an assignment they needed to do. They both stopped and just laughed because they both realized it's absolutely pointless for him because he wasn't going to fail the class no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't going to not graduate, and he already had a multi-million-dollar job lined up. So just an interesting tidbit about things I learned in high school.
Real life. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Too
bad that wasn't me.
Oh, I know.
Well, then I wouldn't be here, though, so.
This is true.
Maybe I'm glad it wasn't me.
See, and then you never would have had the opportunity to do a podcast with me.
Yeah, but now I'm going to become a curler.
No, Lord.
I have the body for it.
It's a rock-solid sport.
It's solid in some way.
Thank you very much.
Rock-solid.
Thank you very much. Soren Fanning, we missed you this week. We will make sure to get you back here next week. John Roland, it is a pleasure, to always have you as my sidekick. And I am Anthony Moretti. With that, we wrap up episode 24 of Upon Further Review with the Podcast Pros. For those who do celebrate Easter, a happy Easter weekend. And when we talk to you next, it will be April.
Past April Fool's, though. So, no April Fool's jokes on the show.
No, we can't do that.
Unless we wanted to be behind the times.
Although, if you think about it, Sunday is both Easter Sunday and April Fool's Day.
I've thought about that a lot, and I'm trying to think of a way.
Could you imagine what an Easter egg hunt could be like?
I swear if my parents, they like to hide an Easter basket for me still just because, like, you know, chocolate. I share with everyone, so it's not like they're just wasting money on chocolate for me.
Right. Well, you share.
I swear if they tell me they hid it and then tell me April Fool's, I'm going to be kind of angry.
There you go.
But because there's not that many places in my house to hide it, so if I don't hide it, I'm going to assume, if I don't find it, I'm assuming the worst.
It's It's a good thing I don't know your like parental's number because I'd call them and go, "Hey, by the way." Would that be funny?
No.
No? All right. He's John Roland. I am Anthony Moretti. Thanks for listening to episode 24 of Upon Further Review with the Podcast Profs. We will talk to you next week.